You have seen written in very small letters on our invitation cards, I don't know what they're called today, but we used to call them mantra cards, invitation cards. Somewhere in there it says, chant to be happy. Right? Chant to be happy. Then another version was, chant and your life will be sublime, or chant and become free from material troubles. Is that a violation of the ninth offense? There's intimate things about the holy name which we don't broadcast widely to publicly discuss amongst ourselves. In that way, then, ninth offense is preserved or not violated. Just enough, as you were speaking, asking your question. I have heard, I have read it directly from Prabhupada's writings, but why he came to the United States instead of England, because Bhaktisiddhanta sent two sannyasis to England, and because the relationship between India and England was so strong, it would have been easy to go to England. Maybe, more natural choice to go to England. But at the time, the United States had a particular position within the world, and it was, at least like what I understood, it was shooting for the rhinoceros. Meaning, if I go to America and nothing happens, then, well, I tried. I went hunting for a rhinoceros and it didn't happen. With him, so forth. Because of the position that America had, that was the choice, English-speaking part of the world. If America gets on board, Americans get on board, then the whole world will pay attention, which is what happened, and it's what happened. They did pay attention, gradually. And then the white elephants went to India. Some Americans went to England, and his mission continued in India. That was another why he came to the United States as opposed to some other
place. Well, that just reminded me of the story of it. Conversation with Prabhupada Krishna Maharaj and Prabhupada. Prabhupada Krishna Maharaj and Prabhupada, why did you come to America instead of England like your brothers? And Prabhupada said, well, I thought, if I'm going to fail, let me fail somewhere else, not the same way.
All three of you. If Srila Prabhupada physically presented this today, what would he be most happy about and what would he chastise us about?
First of all, I don't want to speculate on what Prabhupada would do. But one thing we can say that what is most important for us today is to push the movement forward. Because that's what Prabhupada's main consideration was. He came to give Krishna consciousness at a rather old age. And he fulfilled the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a great extent. He spread it all over the world. But the real prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to every town, village. So that's what Prabhupada wanted, and when he sees that we are doing that, Prabhupada will be pleased. Like I can say, Prabhupada is very pleased with Krishna Shiva. mean, he has been such an example of a devotee. When the way of going through so many different difficulties and Vaisheshika Prabhu stuck to his mission, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, because books are the basis. Books are the real medium for preaching. And Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books. That used to give him the greatest pleasure. Prabhupada used to say that this news of book distribution gives me life when he was extremely sick in Vrindavan. The news of book distribution gives me life. And Vaisheshika Prabhu, in spite of so many difficulties, quietly, he just continued distributing books. Although he was working, book distribution came to a kind of, its lowest ebb. But at that time, he religiously went out to distribution of books. Although his time was very, very little spare time, but he was using that spare time just to distribute to the Prabhupada's books. And today we may see that the result, that I notice one thing, that wherever Vaisheshika Prabhu goes, book distribution shoots to an inconceivable extent. Places where they hardly distributed books, Vaisheshika Prabhu went and visited them, and some miracle happened. Like the book distribution score went down. So one thing I can say with deep conviction that Srila Prabhupada is very pleased with the devotees, those who are so sincerely pushing him forward, distributing his books, preaching, and undergoing so many difficulties to spread his mission. And about what Prabhupada will be so upset about, I will request all my mothers to speak.
I heard him describe it. He was in tears when he was describing, because it was like a momentous moment, like a potent moment, when he was placing before his spiritual master something that he, as a man in an African American body, was racially discriminated against. So Prabhupada's reply is, this is not very good, but if you're irritated by this, then you're no better than they are. You're part of the problem. Don't rise above the problem. So, please, Srila Prabhupada, by rising above the Kali body, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this all the time. I mean, I've heard it at least 100 times. This is an example of the influence of Kali, where devotees lose the goal and become entrenched in quarreling. Then you become victims or controlled by or subject to the influence of Kali instead of step back. We have our Pandaracharya. We have the process and the purpose. So, Prabhu's message. So, take there, go there, and then work out whatever the difference is in a cooperative, respectful manner. If something needs discipline, then let that be appropriately and respectfully administered, and otherwise, we'll go to Krishna. Get on board, please.
Let's start. Nice question, thank you. First I would say, on the negative side, besides cell phones going off in the bus. Which isn't always negative. We have a rule that we ask people to turn them on, actually, because we have a penalty that you have to buy a set of Bhagavatams. We ask all the guests to turn on their cell phones and put on the ringer as loud as possible. One delimiting element or principle is entitlement. The idea that I've done so much, therefore I'm owed, can creep in an institution, in a movement, and think that I have a position and therefore I'm owed something, I deserve something, even more than others. And this erodes the spirit of cooperation. Henry Truman, one of the presidents of the United States, once said that it's amazing how much you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit. But if I even subtly try to hold on and say, I want my stamp on it, otherwise I'm not letting it go, then slows the entire movement. The free flow of mercy that comes out from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we get the opposite. We actually restrict our own progress and we don't become glorified. So I think entitlement is a way in which Prabhupada would be disturbed or chastised or advised against. In effect, he does when I read his books. And that's the thing I would say on the positive side of the Prabhupada would be very much encouraged by is the mood of, or the practice, the discipline of reading his books. He says in the Anjalila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that all of his disciples must read all of his books completely. Otherwise, they will take the eating and sleeping and they will fall down. And he wanted so much that everyone continually read his books. That's why he wrote them. And I would say that if I don't have a goal for finishing all those books within a certain time period, then I'm not taking that up. I'm not serious about it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
the instruction that I spoke already, that Prabhupada said, I come to make you all fortunate, and now I'm asking that you two things, receive and give. But it's not just give, it's receive. So, receive, that's a one word that says volumes. The mercy and the books and the name and the sangha and the mission and the spirit and the integrity, and that's working on ourselves, and then side by side give. So we can emphasize, push on. But how can we push on unless there's something of substance? We can't give what we don't have. We have to receive and give. Short answer. Does that answer your question? Not exactly. Maybe you didn't understand your question. Huh? You want to elaborate? And then...
Having a balance of, like, should I go on Harinam, or should I chant japa, or doing this and that in practical life, having how to understand what we need to be doing in terms of internal and external.
Yes, very good. Both of them. Like as Prabhupada has mentioned, like receive and give. Our internal cultivation is the receiving aspect. Srila Prabhupada came to give us Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada wants us to go out and distribute it to others. He gave us something which is very, very precious. And here, generosity is to give it to others. If you have something very valuable, don't preserve it, don't just keep it for yourself, but give it to others. So, as you say, like, chanting aspect is actually cultivation, internal cultivation of ourselves. And going out in Harinam, or book distribution, or preaching, is actually to give it out. So both are, we have to cultivate both, but of these two, our internal cultivation comes first. First is shravana, first you receive, and then give. Does it answer the question?
From practical side, I found there are various phases one goes through in life. Each decade is marked by a different kind of engagement. Somebody who grows up and goes through the cycle of life in practice of Krishna consciousness. And so one guiding principle I found to be helpful is to always cover your fundamentals every day. Because your time will flex one way or the other according to the demands on your life. And there may be emergencies, there also may be times in your life when your ability to hear and chant is restricted. But one thing is, find out what your bedrock fundamentals are. For instance, one practice I took up a while back, I'm inspired by enthusiastic devotees for reading Prabhupada's books, measured how long it takes to finish each one of Prabhupada's books within a given period of time. We made a little chart. I brought something in that I can distribute when I give class next time, I think. And it tells that, well, as an example for the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look at the Bhagavatam and you see all those books, you might think, well, I'll never finish that, so that's where I want to start. But if you calculate how long it would take, how many pages you have to read in order to finish the whole thing in 5 years. And then you start doing it, like 9 pages a day. Is that possible? Yes. Or to read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year, all you have to do is read 41 pages a day. And if you integrate that into your program, then it becomes just what you do. And Prabhupada called that getting practiced automatically. In fact, he also advocated that he advocated several times that we chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, at least. And to that end, we started an international organization. We didn't intend to be an international organization, but it turned into one. Many card-carrying members of the organization called CHAD, stands for Chapter a Day. And it means no matter what happens during that day, you can be in jail or chanting, and standing in line somewhere, wherever you are, finish chanting your chapter a day, finish your number of pages every day. And then when you get the opportunity to extensively hear and chant, go to a retreat or spend the whole cartoon somewhere hearing and chanting, then deeply do that. But the bedrock principle, the fundamentals, is very important. And just one last thing about distributing. I like to call the distribution and Harinam my sadhana. When you go out on distribution, of course the formula is the more you give it out, the more it grows in your own life, the more capacity that shushu shosha hansya vasade krita vichi syamha sevya punya tirjana shiva. By serving the great souls. By doing that, spreading the movement and so forth, your capacity increases to actually take it in yourself. So, rice is a good food, right? Yes or yes? And dal is a good word too, right?
Yes.
But when you put the two together, according to Jamuna's cookbook, you get 43% more nutrition. And when you put the hearing and chanting together, they're both good on their own. When you're together and have a balanced program, then you get complete what we call high sadhana.
My question is for Guru Maharaj and Vaisnava Guru. During the movement and in the initial days, during the initial days when you traveled with Prabhupada to India, what was your first reaction? Like, what was the complexities?
Then you experience the complexities in India during the travel, and can you express like your viewpoint and how you felt that time in the beginning, early for the first time when you traveled with Prabhupada to India? And my second question is to Guru Maharaj and Patshyab Swami Maharaj. At what stage you decided that an sort of life?
I couldn't, because of the, you didn't have the speaker or the microphone, I couldn't really understand the first question. Maybe these other children, the first question. I wasn't traveling with Papa. Never had that good fortune. He had.
So maybe you traveled to India for the first time. Your first question.
But then India was the first time was the Mayan Purvandana Festival. And that was really comic. I mean, the first year, everybody got sick. Well, what about that? Just what it was like to be with Prabhupada in India? That was your question?
Yes. You never traveled with, but how was your first time?
What was
like, how you reacted?
Just with Prabhupada.
Awesome. For a number of us that engaged our life with book distribution, I would imagine Vaisheshika Prabhupada would say something like ditto. You know, our primary association with Prabhupada was through service of distributing his books, and occasionally when he would visit the United States, he would come to our temple, or we would go to the temple where he was, and we would hear the morning class and go on morning walks. That was about, at least for me, Bhakti Chamaji different, but for me that was the experience. The class morning walks. And of course, you know, the person, sometimes also some darshans in the afternoon, particularly mindful of the simile that was afforded to us. And, you know, it, using Shyamasundara Prabhu's words, he likened Prabhupada to a magician because you never knew what Prabhupada was going to do next.
It's true.
And you know, expect the unexpected. So anecdotal things, time doesn't permit, but expect the unexpected. The problem was it was in them. It was very clear. Being with Prabhupada then, he's in the spiritual world, moving about in the material world to help us appreciate the spiritual world. And becoming attached to him was the way of becoming attached to Krishna. Very clear, very clear. In short, because we're already past our time. And you know, if you ask me the other question, we spend some time together.
That's fine.
In short, the answer, I didn't decide it was a decided morning. It was a story.